Tonight we begin a three-part series in the letter to Philemon. Seems like it would tend to be a three or maybe four-part series, probably not too many 10-part series in the letter to Philemon. Over the next few months, I will be getting into the bits and pieces of the New Testament that I have not previously preached or taught through, and that's getting to be not very much at this point. We will be getting to 2nd and 3rd John after Philemon, and then taking a look at the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. And that should take us into the summer, I would think, and after that, I don't really know in what direction we're going to go on Sunday mornings. I'm thinking that I do want to go back to the book of Job coming up sometime, but I think probably we'll do that on Wednesday nights when we finish Ezra, and I don't really want to be doing three Old Testament books at the same time, so we'll see where we get to later this year. But now let us turn our minds and hearts to what this little gift from the Lord has for our lives. Philemon is a letter to an individual, which obviously is not common in the New Testament. And this is the most obscure individual at that. We might say, Timothy we know, and Titus we have heard of, but who is this Philemon? And yet his name is at the top of one of God's inspired writings to us. What an interesting privilege. Surely there is something about this man that it might profit us to discover. I want to keep introductory matters as brief as possible, but there are some things that we do need to say to set this up, and I'm going to use verses 1 through 3 as my springboard. Philemon was a preeminent worker in the church in the city of Colossae. He is not called an elder, but he was clearly in a significant role in this body. He was probably fairly well off, as he had a house that the church could meet in. Whether the church in Colossae met there every time, or this was one of a rotation of houses that the saints gathered in, that cannot be determined, but I think it was probably the former. This was just where the church met. And you say, Steve, how can you know that Philemon lived in Colossae? The city is not mentioned in these verses. The answer is that both Archippus, who's named in verse 2, and then Onesimus, who we will meet next week, both of them are mentioned in the letter to the Colossians. So there can be little doubt about the connection between the two letters, Philemon and Colossians. They were sent to the same place. This is therefore one of the prison epistles, as we call them, written by Paul from Rome as he awaited trial in his rented quarters. This is why Paul specifically calls himself a prisoner in verse 1, because he was literally chained to a Roman guard at the time that these letters were written. Paul is not known to have ever come to Colossae before this letter was written. It's possible that he did after his release, but no record that he'd been there before this time. So we ask, how was this church established? A likely scenario is that Philemon was exposed to Paul's ministry during the years that the apostle spent in Ephesus, which was the capital of the province in which Colossae was located, not far away. it is natural that someone of Philemon's stature would find himself going from Colossae to Ephesians somewhat regularly, on business, going to purchase something, whatever it might be. He seemed to be well off enough to be a person who would travel around the area and would have met Paul in Ephesus. Philemon was likely converted and discipled under Paul's ministry there, and then was part of the founding of a church in Colossae, which seems to be his hometown. Seems natural then that he would come and begin that church in his own home, and it had been blessed with growth. Apphia is almost certainly his wife, and Archippus his son. If so, this would be one of the few examples in Scripture of a godly father raising a godly son who was a mature servant among God's people. So that's a great blessing to see right there, if indeed that that surmise is correct, that we have a family of faith at the core of this church, and the son very much involved in ministry. So if Paul and Philemon had connections in both Ephesus and Colossae, then we would think that this little letter might have similarities in theme to what we find in the epistles to those churches. So Colossians and Philemon sent to the same place, Ephesians written at the same time, Ephesus just right close by. We would figure that we would see similarities between these letters, and that is certainly what we do find. Both Ephesians and Colossians have teaching about the relationship of masters and slaves, for instance. That's kind of our go-to couple of passages, Ephesians 6 and in Colossians, about that relationship. And what do we find in Philemon? A heavy emphasis on the relationship between a master and a slave. Both Ephesians and Colossians speak to the importance of a forgiving spirit. As Christ has forgiven you, so forgive one another. These kinds of teachings will loom large in Philemon, the idea of forgiveness. Note, by the way, that although this is in many ways a very personal letter, the church is included in the greeting to the church in your house. So this was for them as well. This was meant to be read by the whole church body there that was in Colossae. And I would think that that would have added a little motivation to Philemon to follow through on the appeal that Paul will make. I mean, and it's not just the church in Colossae, because the churches in Laodicea, in Ephesus, as things came to them, they were to send them around to the other local churches. So everybody in Ephesus would have been hearing what Paul, you know, had to say in these letters. The entire church was looking on to see what Philemon would do. And so, you know, I think that, you know, would have certainly added to Paul's encouragement. So what is this letter about? Well, it's about Christian friendship, a deep tie between Paul and Philemon and his family. It is about the spiritual impact that we can have on others. We'll see that tonight with Philemon. It is certainly about forgiveness. We'll be getting into that more as we go along. Perhaps it's mostly about the change that the Lord makes in our lives. He changes the rebellious into useful servants. And he changes the relationships of people so that even a master and a slave can become true brothers. Tonight we want to focus on how Paul sets up the appeal that we're going to get into next time. He begins this letter with a commendation of Philemon. Here we see what kind of man Philemon is, which will serve to tell us what kind of man will lead a godly home, what kind of man will obey the directives of the Lord, even when they are costly. We should pay close attention to what we see tonight because we want to learn what character we should be striving for as we interact with others in the church. The first truth that we learn about Philemon is that he was a man of love. Verse 4, the first part of 5 and 7, I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers because I hear of your love. Verse 7, for I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Again, we note just kind of in passing that although Paul was very excited about what he was hearing in regard to Philemon, his thanks go to God. He's continually thanking God for what he hears about Philemon and his behavior. And the making mention of you in my prayers, the idea that he was led to bring Philemon before the Lord often, and you think of all the people that Paul had on his mind. Again, it's kind of an encouragement to be prayerful people. But you might wonder if Paul's hearing of the love of Philemon means that he did not know him personally. It could be, oh, I'm just hearing good things about you. But it is much more likely that he is referring to the reports that he had received about what was going on in the church since the last time that the two were together. There'd probably been a span of time since they had had face-to-face fellowship, and he's just saying, I'm hearing these good things. Epaphras, for one, was a member of this church in Colossae who was with Paul in Rome at this time and was informing him of the situation in Colossae. And he's mentioned in Colossians, and then he's mentioned in verse 23 of this little letter, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Epaphras greets you. He was well informed about what was going on in this house church in Colossae and could speak about what Philemon was doing. What had Paul heard along these lines? Commentators agree that the grammar of verse 4 indicates that the love should be connected with the ending phrase, unto all the saints. I'm hearing about your love unto all the saints. It was Philemon's behavior toward the saints that spurred this aspect of Paul's commendation. And verse 7 certainly confirms that. This man had a reputation for self-sacrificing love. It was demonstrated in the way that he treated his family. It was demonstrated in the way that he made what he had available to the church. It was demonstrated in the way that he came alongside others when they needed encouragement or exhortation or comfort. Paul seems to be made out of the same mold as Barnabas, seems to have that role in this church. Paul seems to see the same things in him that he so valued as far as his relationship with Barnabas. This was a guy who saw no separation between everyday life and his commitment to the good of his fellow believers. That was just part of how he lived his life. It permeated everything that he did. Just think about having the church meet in your house. Okay, I don't know how large this church was. It might not have been huge, but you know, let's just say 2-3 dozen, even if that's what it was. Just let that sink in a little bit. You know, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, throughout the week. Now, where does everyone in the church feel comfortable dropping by whenever they have a question or just have time to kill? This is the place that they go, that they meet. So you're going to find that people are showing up. Where do those who want to know more about this strange teaching that they're hearing about, where do they come? They come to your house because that's the place where all the Christians meet. Where do those who find out that Christians are generous to the needy show up? Philemon was willing to have a great big bullseye plastered on the front of his house. That meant a lot of flexibility. And we're not just, you know, we're not talking about Philemon only. We're talking about Apphia and Archippus and those involved in the household there. This was just part of their life. It meant being approachable. Hospitality was Philemon's middle name. Not many are ready to have their privacy disrupted continually like this man. A great gift to the church. And this man did not pick and choose. He directed his love unto all the saints. All the saints. He didn't have his little clique who, you know, got his attention and his favor. He was open-handed toward those who perhaps did a lot for him, but he was open-handed toward those who did not and could not do much for him. The mature and the immature, the young and the old, they all had a supporter in Philemon. That's what agape love looks like. He was somebody who had that ability to minister to a wide range of people, and what an effect his efforts had. Paul derived joy and comfort from Philemon's love, even from afar. It blessed him just hearing about this and knowing about it, and we can be sure that those who were in Colossae certainly derived joy and comfort from his work among them. And this is what love produces in others. This is what your acts of sacrifice produces in others. Joy, comfort. People are comforted because they, you know, they sense the Lord's care in those expressions of love. They have joy because they're seeing the Lord working supernaturally. And the instruction that is part of that word comfort, that is a blessing as well. Because people know that someone's looking out for their good, like we talked about in Sunday school today. Do we want believers to know joy and comfort because of the love that we show them? Or is this all about me? A man of love. Paul also commends Philemon for being a man of faith in verses 5 and 6. Because I hear of your faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. It is clear that in this case we are talking about the subjective aspect of faith, not the objective one. Undoubtedly, Philemon believed all the right things as far as doctrine. That would be the objective sense of faith. He held to the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. But that's not the point here. We're being told that he was characterized by a great faith in the Lord Jesus. A man of great trust in the Lord's ability to guide him and keep him. Now, I don't want to be overly simplistic here, but we see that the idea of faith by itself is not what is commendable. And say, it is great that you have faith, and we'll hear people around us, you know, just have faith. Well, in what? Philemon was not a reason for thanks because he had faith. People believe strongly in all kinds of false ideas. It was the object of Philemon's faith that made all the difference. He had faith directed toward Jesus. That's what thrilled Paul. It was because of Christ saving him and coming into him that Philemon had every good thing that he could share with others. That may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. In Christ, it was all in Philemon. And it was by faith that Philemon would appropriate all the riches that he had in Christ. This is very important. The end of verse 6 is such a profound truth that's kind of tucked into this larger point and certainly this larger letter. It's something that you could go right by. This is similar to Ephesians 1:3, and our leadership group was in the book, the first chapter of Ephesians on Saturday, and really got into this, how we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, and just running through all those things in Ephesians chapter 1 that we have in Christ. And Colossians, again, talking about the connections between Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 10, Paul talks about how we have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man. You know, that hits home for this letter. But Christ is all and in all. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You know, Paul puts such stress on these truths in the prison epistles. These are the identity truths that we talk about and emphasize from time to time because they're so important to our living out of our faith. Philemon understood that by faith, we accept who Christ has made us to be through regeneration, that we have put on this new self. We go forward in faith, believing that Christ can work effectively through what he has put into us. And Paul's saying, I'm just so thankful and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through that knowledge of every good thing which is in you. For Christ's sake, as you understand more and more of the spiritual riches that Christ has put in you, you will be more and more effective as you minister to others. And that's a message for every believer, not just Philemon. Do you really believe that you have the resurrection power of Christ in you? Do you really believe that you have the mind of Christ? Do you really believe that you are a partaker of the divine nature, as Peter puts it, in regard to what happens in regeneration? Are you a completely new person? What is it that you need for service that you don't have? Being a Philemon means relying on who God has made you to be. You understand it's by grace. You understand it's by His doing. But you also understand that He has made you able to be a person who has a great spiritual effectiveness. what this faith in Christ, this robust faith that Philemon had, what that leads to is a fellowship of faith, as Paul puts it in verse 6. A fellowship of faith, a koinonia, a participation in faith. What Paul seems to be saying is that if we do not realize what has been put into us in salvation, we will never know the sharing of faith with fellow believers that is our birthright in Christ. You're never going to participate in the right way in the common life of Christ in the body if you don't realize who God has made you to be. We will not experience the blessings of participating in our common faith with others that we should. So this is very important to have these identity truths grasped and believed and lived out. Our faith in Jesus can never be something that's personal only. That's what Paul is getting at. That's why he starts with identity truths and then goes into your ministry and what you're supposed to be doing in his letters. Because you have to start in the right place. It is something that Christ does in you, but it can never just be seen as, okay, he's done something in me and that's where it stops. It's your faith is not just so that you can be saved. It is something to be lived out in a community. It involves fellowshipping around the Word, God's Word, fellowshipping around the Lord's table, fellowshipping with others in ministry. Are you known for that, as Philemon was? He said, you're just known, Philemon, for your faith creating this bond of fellowship with other believers. You live in that fellowship. Are people thankful for you because your faith in Christ is always being shared with the rest of the brethren? Sometimes we think of, well, I need to share my faith with unbelievers, and that's true as far as that can go. But truly, the most prevalent and important aspect of our faith is that it's going to be shared with the brethren through prayers and through words and through actions. That faith will be actively expressed among the people of God. It will be seen, evidenced in that way. So he was a man of faith, and we ought to be as well. Lastly, Philemon was a man of refreshment. Verse 7, for I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. And if we go to verse 20, we see him saying, yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. That was something typical of Philemon. Undoubtedly, Philemon was a man of refreshments, considering the situation. Can you imagine how much coffee and donuts he served over the years in his house? So he had that down, but that's not the point here. This has to do with refreshing others spiritually. The Greek verb here was taken from military operations, this idea of refreshing. It described when an army on the march took a break along the road. It describes weary people catching their breath, getting food and water to re-energize, finding shade, taking a little nap. Perhaps some of you are being refreshed in that way tonight during this message. This is the word that Jesus used when he invited people who were heavy laden to come to him and he would give them rest. That same word. Idea of being refreshed. How does Jesus do that? Give rest and refreshment? Well, he does that by taking away our burden of guilt. He does that by showing us that he has done all that needs to be done in order to be right with God. What a refreshing thing that is to know I don't have to earn my salvation. What a rest that is from labor that would be in vain. He gives us supernatural peace. He provides nourishment for our souls. He supports us in all these ways. Jesus is that rest. Philemon, though, was someone in whom the body of believers found refreshment. Now, obviously, Philemon couldn't do all those things that we just talked about in regard to Jesus. He's the only one who does that. But he is someone who helped others with that same spirit that Christ had. He refreshed hearts. Actually, the literal Greek here is not heart, cardia, but the vital organs. The lower down organs. It's that wonderful Greek word, splagna. Splagna. We're talking about the intestines and the liver and the kidneys and all of that. This area was seen, you know, in the culture, in the way they express things, as the seat of the emotions. You know, that's where you really felt things. And don't we also talk about, you know, we feel things in our gut instinct and that kind of stuff. There is a truth to that physiologically as well, that there is some sort of a connection there. And we do feel certain things, you know, down in here. And so that's the kind of reference being made. Even as believers, we get down, don't we? You know, we get depressed. We get weary. We get lonely. We wonder where things are going in our lives. Philemon lifted such people up. People in that condition found rest and refreshment in him. He had a timely word. He had an offer of help. He had a place to stay. He had a shoulder to cry on. Philemon was a dose of 5-hour energy. After being with him, the saints felt that they were ready to go another round with life. Such a person, again, is a wonderful gift from the Lord to his church. One will have to have a selfless brand of love to be a constant refreshment to the community, you know, of faith, because, you know, there are people who will be very attracted to that, shall we say. And you'll find yourself giving, you know, a lot. Most of us are looking to be refreshed when we gather. I need this to, you know, kind of re-energize my spiritual batteries. I need this to encourage me. And I'm not saying that is a bad desire in any way, but we can be so bent on that I really need to get something out of this from others, that we aren't that much of a pick-me-up for the rest of the brethren. Hey, I need something here, people. you can't be expecting me to be someone who's going to be, you know, giving very much to others. Philemon didn't have that view. We can sense the warmth of Paul as he ends verse 7 with brother, and then again in verse 20, brother. You don't get so much of an intimate sense of relationship with many others. Philemon acted as a true brother to the saints. Everyone could sense his loyalty toward the saints, his care about them. How refreshing are you? How refreshing am I? Are you the Lipton iced tea plunge in Christ's body? Do you make the kidneys of the saints quiver with good sensations? We are to be an oasis of refreshment as we gather together for each of our meetings. Let's think about whether we are sources of rejuvenating living water for other people or more of a mouthful of sand. So this Philemon is a fine man, isn't he? You read that and very impressive. You want to know the guy. You want to be in the church with that guy. Because we're selfish, right? Man, I want to be ministered to by a guy like that. I would guess we would all like to know him. If Paul found him to be such an inspiration, I mean, that's high praise, isn't it? You really refresh me, brother. Well, the Apostle Paul says that about you. You know, you'd be tempted to maybe a little bit of pride or something. You need some humbling after that. But this commendation will be tested. Paul is, of course, saying all of this for a larger purpose than simply that it was true. And now it was true, and he wasn't indulging in, you know, some kind of flattery, inappropriate or anything like that. It's all sincere and right to say, but it is said because he is moving somewhere. He's going somewhere with this by saying this about him. This man had a very mature Christian character, but that was about to be tested a little bit more. This was about to get very personal. We might be able to manifest love and faith and refreshment when times are good, you know, when people are treating us well and so forth. It's at least a little easier. We still somehow find ways to be selfish even when, you know, things are going well. But what about when we've been wronged? There was someone who especially needed to see Philemon's love and his generosity. There was someone who especially needed to be brought into that fellowship that Philemon was so good at promoting. There was someone bearing a load of guilt. Someone who was struggling with what he had done, who needed to be reassured, needed to be welcomed and refreshed himself. Next time we will look at Paul's plea to Philemon on behalf of that person. Let's pray.